Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from cold South Bend, Indiana, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And we have got a great show lined up for everyone today. We have my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks this week. Hopefully she will be here momentarily. And we also have one of my students on the air with us. And today we're going to be talking to Linda Feinholz from BreakthroughByDesign.com and her hero's journey, or the story of Linda, as I like to call it, the story of you. And really what you do to create your story so that it can help to attract the right prospects and get them to start the relationship with you so that you can get bigger, better, faster results in your business. Hello, Ms. Rhonda, and hello, Linda.
Hey.
Hello.
So excited about the show.
Hello, everyone. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Yeah.
So, Rhonda, as the story lady, I'm going to let you kind of lay the foundation for what we're going to do with Linda today. Why is it so important to follow a hero's journey as a model in creating your story?
Well, if I could, Gina, I would like to back up one place from that question and answer that one second. Would that be all right with you?
Because yeah, it'd be awesome.
Okay, because there's a little groundwork to be set before that, and I certainly wouldn't want to put down the cement before, you know, the foundation poles are in place, right? So.
Absolutely.
Or the house will fall over. So here, okay, so here it is. Let's start with, why is it important to tell stories?
That's a good one.
That whole, and, you know, connected with that, of why does the story of you make any difference whatsoever in your business? I mean, you know, some people might want to say, well, look, it's business. It should be about the results. It should be about the outcomes. And, you know, of course it is. I'm not saying that that's not important at all. But think about how people connect. The way that people connect has everything to do with storytelling. And so here is just an example that'll be really easy for everybody to understand. If you've ever seen an infomercial, and even many of the quote-unquote regular TV commercials that are out there now are really based on storytelling. They are somebody's results. They are somebody using the product and feeling happy about whatever the transformation is. They're about a wow demonstration and whatever. And all of that really is about the story, because people will connect with you for emotional reasons. Yes, they're going to want some rational stuff to back up their decision to continue with you. Goodness, we get a lot of noise. But they will connect with you because of the stories and the human connection that you have with each other. So that, I hope, will help to lay part of the groundwork. So here's a couple of additional things about storytelling. Billy Mays, who passed away a couple of years ago, he was the pitchman responsible for the OxiClean and other big, getting those brands out in a big way. He said that at least 50% of the reason why people buy is because of the stories that you tell. That is why infomercials are full of stories, and that is certainly why the success stories of people and that kind of thing are important. And I wanted to help lay that groundwork before talking about the story of you, which is a much more personal aspect of storytelling.
Very good.
Okay, so do you have any questions about that, Linda or Gina, before I move on to answer the question you actually asked a little bit ago?
No, I'm very excited to be here with you, being taken through this entire process with you.
Okay. How about you, Gina? Anything else that you think I should speak more to or questions you have about that piece?
Well, just to elaborate for a minute, you know, stories are really that important, but can you give us some examples? Where do you use stories in your business?
Where don't you use stories in your business would be the shorter list.
There you go.
I can't think of a place where you don't use stories, to be honest. So let's go through, you know, things in blog posts. Just to convey a bunch of facts, well, hey, that's boring, and I can read Encyclopedia Britannica for that, you know.
There you go.
That's not going to cause people to read. Facts tell and stories sell is a thing you may have heard, and I've heard it in sales training and different things. But that's why. So blog posts, articles, videos, even your social media stuff can be telling a story or at least, you know, teasing to the story because some of the posts are so short, being like Twitter and stuff. Your Facebook timeline itself is a story. It's the story of whatever it is that you have found important enough or interesting enough to want to share. So your Facebook timeline that you have when someone goes to your page, that is a story. In and of itself.
And even within pictures on Pinterest, the pictures
yep.
tell the story.
Pictures
and even
tell
within
story.
Products that you create, if your products aren't telling stories, you're probably going to create a bunch of customers who buy from you once and never want to buy again.
You bet. And so, yes, inside of products, in your books. But don't only think about books. It doesn't mean you're writing a fiction book necessarily, although there's no reason you couldn't. But in your nonfiction books and your info products and your classes that you would teach, your workshops, your seminars, speaking from the platform, you know, anything that you would do, producing videos that go onto YouTube, all of those things, audio podcasts, those are going to be so great with stories. And so where don't you use stories? I don't really even think of a place that you wouldn't use stories in your business.
Yeah, great, great, great overview, Rhonda. And the stories may be a little bit different from one place to the next, but typically there are two basic kinds of stories that you're going to use over and over and over again. One is in testimonials. What are testimonials? Testimonials are really stories. And if you can get people to craft their testimonial in a way that tells the story, they are much more effective in getting other people to buy. So really,
right.
testimonials become one of the kinds of stories that you use over and over again.
Uh-huh.
And from one story to the next, from one testimonial to the next, the story might be a little bit different, but it's all one kind of story. And the second
yep.
kind of story that you use all the time is what I like to call the story of you. Now, that's a story that isn't really going to change very much from one place to the next when you tell the story. However, that story can sometimes highlight some one part of it for one application and highlight a different part for a different application. I use my story in that way all the time. Sometimes I'm telling the story to make a point related to mindset. Sometimes I'm telling the story to relate to something about blogging or building your business strategically. But the actual story that I use is really no different from one place to the next. And that's where the question I asked first becomes a really big deal. Why is the hero's journey so important in crafting the story of you?
All right, now I think we're in a much better place to speak to that particular question.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. There is a particular story pattern that every single human being on the planet is hardwired for. And that is the hero's journey, and I'll be explaining what that is in just a second. So what I want to convey to you, though, first is this. When you think about how are you going to connect with your ideal customer about who you are and what has happened to you, wouldn't you imagine that you would want to connect in a way that is sort of universally connecting and in a way that will speak to that person on a very deep heart and soul level, no matter what culture they come from?
Absolutely.
Right? So that should make sense. So that this is a story pattern that bypasses any particular issues around race, creed, religion, politics, what continent or country or city or town, even villages where they have not hardly any contact with the rest of quote-unquote society, all respond to this one particular pattern. So can't you imagine how easy it can become once you know what this pattern is and how to use it to understand and realize that you're going to be speaking right to the person's understanding when you use this pattern. Does that make some sense?
It does.
All right, so we're going to be speaking right to the place where the person receiving the message, be it an audio, video, print, live or virtual, whatever, is going to be able to understand and connect with. The hero's journey is that particular
story. Before we look at that
story. Uh-huh.
If we think about movies that have won awards and books that are bestsellers and really memorable, almost every one of them is really something that follows the hero's journey, isn't it?
Every story really does when you think about, because we'll take fiction and movies. I mean, it's all the same type of thing, and then I'll apply that to nonfiction. But they all have this pattern in them, and what it means is that if you were to, for example, go and look for a novel because you want to have a good read or you want to watch a movie to have some entertainment, how much would you go to that movie if every single thing absolutely went right for the person and there were no challenges, it was so boring, nothing changed, they didn't have to overcome anything, they didn't almost lose the girl, the guy, the whatever, you know. How boring would that be? That would be the shortest novel ever told. It could be a one-story thing, which would be a short story and not a novel, or a very short three-second clip and not a movie, right?
Absolutely.
So there is something within human beings, therefore, that truly responds to the idea of challenging yourself, of being tested by life events that happen, and that that is the thing that causes growth and change and transformation within people, within cultures, within groups and families, and everywhere else.
And even if we think about the one book that has sold more copies than any other ever in history, it's the Bible.
Right.
Is that same pattern not even present in the Bible?
Oh, good heavens. That is absolutely key to any scripture, be it the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita or whatever. You have these stories of people that have faced tremendous odds. We've just been through the Olympics. And that is another time where even in sports, so it doesn't only have to be movies or novels or holy scriptures or books or whatever. It happens in real life. In all of the movies that are about this, like Rudy, for example, the one about defeating the Giants, it's not quite the right title, but all those kinds of movies that are based on real life stories, things that have happened in the Olympics are perfect examples. It's the challenges that a person has overcome to get there that make them interesting. And even in the shows that you might see or in the Olympics, what they'll do is they'll take some of the athletes and highlight part of their personal story. It's not just here's some runner from Jamaica or from wherever. It's here is this person who developed fast running because of whatever reason it was, or they had certain issues in their family or whatever. So it really becomes all about the challenges and the road of trials. So that should give you some understanding. You see it everywhere. Yeah, I mean, the Bible is full of stories. Life is full of stories. You can go to the store and have interesting people. And there's a joke in my family that I have a sign over my head, on my forehead, that says, "Tell me anything." Because people do quite literally go out of their way to come and tell me some aspect of whatever's on their mind, some aspect of their story. It's really kind of funny. Somebody walked half of the distance down the aisle in a Walgreens one time to tell me something about her husband. And this was not a person that I had ever seen before or was friends with.
So funny.
It really is. It's very funny. So that's kind of the joke. I just call it my storyteller mojo. But that's really the essence of it. So the hero's journey, once you can understand this pattern and apply it, it really helps you to find the way to use your own story to connect with people. And that brings up an interesting level of resistance that can come up for people. And Gina, I know that you've seen this.
Big time.
People not wanting to tell your story, or people wanting to hide behind a pseudonym because they don't want to have to tell their own story, or they want to just make something up. You know, and on some level, people can always tell. Anytime I've known someone that has a dual identity, whenever there's a public situation, it always causes confusion because people will call them by both names. That's totally confusing the audience.
Yeah.
I remember being in a summit and I thought, oh, what are there two hosts and I'm only hearing one person? I don't understand this. And it was because somebody had a dual identity, but some of the speakers called him by his real name and some of them by his stage name. So it does. It causes a lot of confusion. And it causes a complete disconnect with people because on some level, even if they don't quite realize what's wrong, it's like, did you ever have that feeling like something isn't quite right? You don't know quite what it is. Maybe whatever you have just seen, witnessed, or received, it's like it's pretty good stuff, but there's just something that tickles in the back of your head that something's wrong. And that's what happens when you try to hide behind either falsehood or when you try to hide behind not wanting to reveal who you really are.
And, you know, here's the thing. You and I see this over and over and over again. When you're really open, authentic, honest, and you really are using your real story in the hero's journey format, you really do get bigger, better, faster results than any kind of a stage story you could create. Nothing gets you the same kind of results as using your own true history. Now, what you choose to spotlight really will depend upon what you plug into the hero's journey. And what I want to do on the rest of today's call is take a look at what is the template for the hero's journey. And then using Linda Feinholz, we're going to look at Linda's real life and help Linda to take the real events from her life and plug them into the template.
Right. So let me share with you the hero's journey template so that everybody can have a kind of a baseline, a way to understand and frame this conversation, okay?
Sounds great. So,
great.
Linda,
so,
take some notes.
I am.
Yeah, Linda, because I can't wait to actually talk to you, but it's important to help lay this groundwork because that's going to make it easier for you as well as for people who will be listening to this recording or live, whichever way, right?
Absolutely.
So the thing with the hero's journey, I'm going to kind of go over it, and then I'm going to give you three words that will crystallize the whole thing in just three words.
Great.
And I think Joseph Campbell is thrilled with me, or he's rolling over in his grave. I'm not sure which. It can be explained in a very complex way. So, and there are wonderful books by Joseph Campbell, The Hero's Journey, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, and many other books. And some people say, yes, I would love that, except I can't quite understand it. So part of what my contribution to his body of work is making it really understandable and applicable to real life without having to feel like you've got to study ancient mythology or, you know, whatever to do it. So the hero's journey begins with that there is something that causes a sense of dissatisfaction or something that you want to change or fix or make better in some way. You know, in The Wizard of Oz, to use as an example that most people will be familiar with, in the beginning, Dorothy is feeling like she just can't hardly stand this little old place in Kansas. So, and then the things that happen to her come from that. So when you have this dissatisfaction, you start off on some kind of a quest. For many people who are an entrepreneur, the quest could be that you started, you had this problem and you wanted a solution, and then you ended up turning that into a business. And we'll get to your story, Linda, in just a second, but just to lay that groundwork. So the beginning part is a quest. It's a search for a solution. A search that you want to make life better in some way, shape, or form. It often starts off for somewhat selfish or very personal reasons that may or may not actually have any ultimate desire to benefit the world or the community. But that's what starts it. And the minute you say yes to the call to adventure, okay, I'll find the solution, I'll figure this out, I'll make this better, then what happens is you go through this road of trials, and it seems like everything in the world may be conspiring against you at times. And, like, things will break down, things will not work, things will fall apart, you know, things will fall through. You'll have all these challenges. You know, an athlete might have an injury in their training or something, and they can't be in the competition, whatever. So you have these road of trials. This is not...
Sorry,
this is not
the truck's driving by.
This isn't like God smiting you, whoa, okay, I'm going to just hurl stuff at you just to make life miserable. This really comes simply from the process of life and of going through the process of making something better. It's the only way that really happens is that road of trial and those tests that are going to cause you either to cave in and give up completely or to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep going. And eventually, through the various trials, at some point, at last, you reach that destination. You find that which you are seeking. And that is a wonderful moment of realization. And the interesting thing about that is it often takes you full circle right back to where you started. A wonderful book called The Alchemist, that's really beautiful. The whole thing about Acres of Diamonds, that story of Acres of Diamonds from the famous speech. He goes on this big, long quest looking for diamonds and looking for wealth, and it turns out he had all these diamonds in his backyard he didn't realize. Finally came back home, finally saw it for what it was, that type of thing. So that's what happens. So the three words that will help you comprehend the entire hero's journey process, they all rhyme. First part is the quest, and then come the test. And finally, yes, you get to your destination. You get what you sought. The object of the quest is yours. So quest, test, and yes.
Cool.
So, Linda, you ready?
I am.
Any questions first before we dive right in?
No, I suspect there will be plenty as we're working.
Okay, so... one way that helps to uncover the hero's journey within you and your life is that I have what I call them three questions for clarity. And they're the same questions that I use with mentoring clients and in some of my programs. So I'm going to ask those to you, okay, Linda?
Great.
Cool. The first question is, what was it that started you on your journey?
You know, I love the question, and I wish there was a single moment in time that sent me on my journey. I feel as if much of my life has been a continuing journey.
Uh-huh.
Since my early childhood, well, let me back up and give a few pieces, because then I know you'll help craft what are the elements of the story that are relevant in building a business. So when I was 8 years old, my father had the opportunity to run part of a business overseas in Switzerland. And in the middle of second grade, literally in the middle of the school year, my entire family picked up and we relocated from California to Switzerland. And I found myself in a foreign land. So I can't say that that was the beginning of my quest, because I can't say I took myself there and launched there. But what that did was it stirred up for me and in me a sense of, actually a couple of things. One is a sense of displacement, and the other was a sense of adventure and curiosity. And so that element I can track all the way back, that need to know and understand and figure things out has been with me since I was about 8 years old. But I think one of those, you know, there's adventures we have in life that at the time don't feel like they're our adventures, but when we look back, we can see that they are. So when I was 12 years old, my father's company, the company that he worked for, was embezzled. And the new president of the company wrote himself a check and got on a plane for Costa Rica and literally bankrupted a multinational corporation right out of business. And I remember very distinctly standing in my bedroom listening like an eavesdropper to the conversations that my parents and their friends and colleagues who all worked in this company were having in the living room, and the sense of despair and confusion and shock and these low conversations that were deeply worried they were all having. And the inner conversation I had was the shock of finding out that adults could have this moment where they didn't know what to do. And that right there is what I think anchored inside me, that there was nothing more frightening than not knowing what to do. And at the time, I can't say at the time, you know, there was a big neon sign painted on my wall, but looking back at what underlies or did for many years my hunger to learn, my hunger to explore, my hunger to find new ideas or new ways of doing things was this quiet voice in the background of figuring out what to do, figuring out how to do something, figuring out multiple ways something could be done so you could find out which one would work best. And I know that's kind of generalized, but the second thing, ironically, that happened to me watching my parents go through that was, as a child, I said, I'll never have anything to do with business. Well, of course, many years later, by the time I finished high school and college and went into the world, I found out everything is business. So, you know, what occurred in my world was this complete resistance about having anything to do with business, finding out, just because I had to earn a living, that everything we do, in a sense, is business. And in the background was every place I've ever worked, every kind of business I've worked with, whether I was working in it, whether I was managing part of the operation or the team or setting strategy, or in the many years I worked as a consultant, I've had this real skill for seeing what is going on and seeing what the possibilities are that would make it work smoother, more productively, more profitably, easier, and so on. And so that's really become my gift in working with entrepreneurs and business owners and multipreneurs.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So that really gives you, now you have the thread. And what you'll often notice, everybody who's listening, there will be these threads that run through your whole life. Gina, you have those threads that run through your life. I have them that run through mine. Maybe different threads, but they're always a part, an underlying thing that leads to the sense of dissatisfaction, fear, and whatever that starts you off. And now you have really pulled forth the theme, and you have told the story in a way that brings out that theme, and it can be a very frightening. It's that standing at the edge of the abyss looking into the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not a comfy place to be, is it?
No, it's very terrifying. And the irony, as you can imagine, I know from all of the folks that you each work with, is the funniest part about our skills is it doesn't mean that we cruise through life instantly knowing what to do for ourselves. The hilarious thing is I have all these skills that I can use with tremendous skillfulness and compassion and smarts with the people that I'm working with, I will just as easily get stuck in my moments of I don't know what to do.
You know, that's
how it always works. It's so funny.
Yeah, and I always joke, it's like sometimes I will struggle with something for myself that I can easily do. I can easily help somebody come up with a title, a book description, whatever. And sometimes you describe my own stuff, and I'm like, exactly the same thing. And it's just a funny thing, isn't it? I love that.
Yeah.
That's really great. So you are already touching on the second question, but I'm going to ask anyway because I believe that there is still more to it even than what you've revealed already, Linda.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So the second question really has to do with passion, and passion is your fuel. So what really is that underlying passion? You know, I understand that part of it was this never wanting to not know what to do and wanting to feel like you had options. But what else is in there?
What has been a really recurrent theme in my life, it's a really irrational passion to unleash potential. I cannot turn it off. I see the potential that's somehow out of other people's line of sight. And I so easily see, I'll talk about it in the context of business, I so easily see when I'm talking with someone about their business a strategy they can use that will position them in a way they never thought of, but as soon as I say it to them, it's like fireworks going off.
The light bulb, right? Oh,
exactly.
Love it.
Or yesterday evening I was talking with a young woman, an entrepreneur, she's very skilled, for instance, at going into people's wardrobes and remixing what they already own into really brilliant outfits.
Oh, wow. That's
that
very
really
cool.
Depict their personality and their character and who they are, so that they don't even have to go to the store and say, oh, I need new clothes. They might need something that highlights the outfit, but the outfits themselves are hanging in their hangers and they don't even know it. And part of what I was sharing with her was, again, it was that notion of the 5-degree turn. She's had a lot of people that she's worked with that have been pro bono, almost charging them nothing because they're career transitioning and so on. And what I was able with, you know, two questions to her to unveil for her is that she has something that even women of wealth would want. They would love.
Gotcha.
They would love to get 4 times as many outfits out of what they have in their closet already.
I already have a joint venture in mind for her with somebody. Yes, absolutely.
So it's that ability, and I know. Look, I'm very clear. I've dealt with hundreds of business owners and entrepreneurs in tens of industries and types of businesses in over 20 years. So I've seen such a range and variety of ways things can be done in business. I often jokingly say that I have a Mary Poppins kit bag that I carry with me. And so when I'm working with someone, I'm very clear about what the possible changes or new outcomes or brilliant ideas could be. But I'm dealing with what's the nature of the person I'm working with. I don't walk in saying, there's this one solution. I walk in with my kit bag and I'm thinking to myself, okay, is this a parrot head umbrella situation, or is this a spoonful of sugar situation, or is this a just go sing a song next in the park situation, so that I can offer the person I'm working with, look, here's 3 approaches to solving this. The situation, which one will you do next Tuesday when I'm not here? I want to transmit and transfer to them new ideas, new ways of thinking, new clarity for their business, but also a new sense of capability in them for how to think about and run their business. And I'm passionate about all of that. I see the potential. I want to unleash that potential. And I want to offer them not, here's the singular thing you must do, but rather, here are things that will work. Which will you own? Which will you do? Which will you be passionate about so it becomes who you are next in your business?
Awesome. That's just great. And so what I pull out in crystallizing all of that is that your passion has to do with bringing clarity, making the path easier, sort of removing the weeds for people so that they can see from a crossroads of any of these will work and which are you going to select. So that is great. So that helps your passion. Now that is going to tie into crafting the story of you.
Great.
And then the next piece is for you to vision and create your future. And I know you've been doing this with Gina quite a bit in visioning and crafting that ideal future that you want to have in your business.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a sense of what that looks and feels like and how that's working.
So there's different elements to this. I think on the grand scale, my vision for what I'm doing in the world is described with what I call the 10-10-10 club, that as a result of my working with people to help them unleash their passion, their potential in the world, they create such lucrative businesses that 10,000 of them are writing $10,000 checks 10 months a year to the causes that matter most to them to make a difference in the world. So both we've created a business they love working in with an economic financial result that's letting them create the life they adore living, and that includes contributing to the world to make an even bigger impact on the causes that they find important, the causes that matter to them. It could be philanthropic. It could be, you know, in the world of their children. It could be creating legacies. It could be helping in their community and so on. But that because we've unleashed that potential and because they're thriving as businesses, they love their business. They love what they're doing during their weekday daylight hours, which for so many of us is going to be what we do in the business world. And it's also spawning all the other things that will give them delight in their life. So that's
great.
my grand vision for all of this.
Love it. Okay, so now we're going to hone in on the story of you in just a second, but I want to pause and ask Gina, do you have either questions or something to add before I dive into specifically crafting that story?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, just thought I would check in. And Linda, how about you? Are there any things that are coming up that might be questions that you have before we dive into building your story?
No, I look forward to it. I had, you know, all kinds of little notes that I had put together, like, should this be in the story? Should that be in the story? And so on. And I know we'll bring them up and discuss them and sort out if
right.
they serve or they don't.
Okay, perfect. So just I would like to check in because I don't want to go 10 miles down the road and find out you had a really big question at, you know, mile marker 0.5. So
sure.
That's great. So, you can, even one sentence, you can tell a story that gets very clear. That's what I just did right there, and I do it so unconsciously, but that's
mm-hmm.
the kind of thing anybody can do. It's just providing a little metaphor for people.
Yeah.
So now, into the story of you we go. So to recap, my brain and mouth had a little miscue there, misfire. To recap the hero's journey in the simplified way, is you're talking about the quest, the test or the road of trials, and then, yes, the solution that you're bringing to people. In terms of business, that story is going to revolve around, yes, your life, and your emotions, and it could involve your family and other things. It doesn't only have to be what happens, you know, in the boardroom or in the business, but it is going to be framed in a way that helps people understand who you are, as well as the difficulties that you have overcome in creating the tremendous solutions and opportunities that they're going to have. So you did a great job earlier in talking about some of the things that set you out on this journey or on this quest initially. So a quest is more specific than the journey. It's not just, you know, here's the journey of life and we walk over here and we've got some brambles and, you know, we've got the river and whatever. But the quest is where you're actively seeking. And so you want to pull from your experiences those elements that are about you feeling a sense of dissatisfaction, fear, anything that would cause you to then start going out to seek a solution. Right? So ponder on that for a second and pull out the parts of your life that really highlight. You were talking earlier about your father and when you first learned about that as a kid, a 12-year-old, that grown-ups could sometimes not know what to do and how much that frightened you. That is a one good piece that you can pull. And there could also be others, though, from your life.
So let me share a series of a few of them, and
right.
then we can prune from there.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, let me share it a little bit factually rather than story-wise, and then I'll, you know, I look to you to say which ones to go in on. So we have, do we want to work forward from that event when I was 12? Or,
you know, it doesn't have to be linear in my
okay.
in my world, in my way of thinking. Life is not often linear. It's just sometimes there are key moments that stand out, but they may not necessarily be time-bound.
Sure. Okay.
Would it help to have an example, Linda?
Yeah, please.
So in my world, my big mission, my 10-10-10 club, if you will, is I want to help every person on this planet live the life of their dreams. And the vehicle for doing that is a business that uses the power of the internet. I am a teacher. That's what I love. And I want to teach people how to live the life of their dreams, having a business. So looking back at my life, there are so many different events that I could use to bring people to that place of they're going to work with me to live the life of their dreams. Now, one thing I could have used is early on in my life, my father was president of North American operations for a big Japanese conglomerate. And my dad's way of leading that company was really based around teamwork. And from all of the examples that I saw from him, he really helped every person that worked with him to live the life of their dreams. That might be one piece that I could bring into my story. But really, to fit into the hero's journey template, what works better for me is to instead talk about in third grade, I had made this realization that I wanted to be a teacher. But I had gone to 19 years of Catholic school, and even in the third grade, I saw my teachers really struggling because they didn't make very much money. And that really wasn't the lifestyle I wanted. I didn't want to have to teach during the day and earlier than teaching, go out and be a garbage man like many of my teachers did. So I went to the library and talked to the librarian who helped me figure out that the highest paid teachers in the world were law school professors. So I set my sights on becoming a law school professor, knowing that I would have to become an attorney first, so that I could achieve my dream of teaching in a way that didn't make me poor. So my whole life really then becomes this quest of going on this journey to accomplish that goal. Doesn't have anything to do with the goal, bigger mission that I really want to reach at the end, but it's a really great way to get to the next element of the hero's journey.
It is
yeah.
The quest is generally selfish in the beginning. It's not
exactly.
You don't really start off, and that's what I had said earlier, and I'll just reiterate that, is initially you're not setting out to save the world or whatever your particular
yeah.
vision is, right? You're setting out to say you want to be the high-paid teacher. So it's a selfish thing that often will start it, right? And it grows from there, and it's the road of trials that grows you into whatever else comes next and into that bigger vision and what cycles you around to the beginning. So in Gina's world, she starts early on going, I want to be a highly paid teacher, goes to law school. I'm just, you know, shortcutting because
sure.
of time. Various Done. Things that don't, that didn't turn out to be quite what you wanted. You took some sidesteps. You had this major health crisis in your life. You had this miraculous transformation. You started off being a deal broker, basically, and ultimately came full circle back around to teaching and developing the coaching programs that are part of Directions University and the other various products. So that's like a two-sentence recap of the whole
yeah, but,
swing
through. But it really
right?
gets you through the whole quest and the test to the yes.
Sure.
Right. So that's the type of thing that you are looking for in your own life. So that quest does often start off very selfishly. You're not trying to save the world. You're just trying to solve your own problem or bring your own goal about.
Right. So then, you know, taking off from that experience when I was 12, then my quest was to figure out how to create financial security for myself and satisfaction in the day-to-day world of, quote, working. And my quest took me off through MBA programs and working for all kinds of multinational corporations and entrepreneurial businesses. And as I was working with them and in them, what I kept uncovering was new ways of solving the challenges of business. And I kept sticking those ways in my Mary Poppins kit bag initially mm-hmm. because I thought they were going to be for me, so I'd have lots of options and never get stuck and never not know what to do. And what in fact turned out was that I was really, really good at teaching them to the people who I encountered along the way. And one day somebody looked up and said, oh, you don't want to be a manager, you want to be a consultant. That's the kind of being
yeah.
you are. And yeah. if they hadn't said that, you know, we talk about the little wise people we encounter along the way, that was one of them. You know, one of them was a mentor I had that was my father's cousin who, when I went to college, said, don't major in anything, take classes in everything, because you never know what you'll want to do in the future. Well, that was that was creating the kit bag itself. And then
yeah.
all the work I did in corporations and entrepreneurial ventures and everything else kept being all the tools that I was sticking in that bag. And then having this next mentor say, you don't want to be I already knew I was bored being a manager. I kept looking for the fires to put out and was worried I'd start fires so that I'd have something to solve. And fortunately,
right.
someone said, oh, that's being a consultant, where that's who you are in the world, is working with people who have fires, helping them put them out. So it gave
Home
a new
fighter.
Frame
yeah.
of reference to it.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And that's so true, is you do have various characters that you meet along the way of your journey. One of them is the mentor, and whether they are a paid mentor, it doesn't matter. It could be a five-year-old kid, but they teach you something critical that you then can take, like the, oh, consultant, not manager. Yes, I'm bored. I need to not be bored. And so that helps to spur you on. You also, in your road of trials, you have various characters. Some are allies that help you, and some are antagonists or people that seem to put things in your way. That's part of your road of trials. So in the story of you, what were some of the obstacles, aside from the being bored and that type of thing, but what other things really helped turn your path? And then ultimately, and you think back upon it, is when you can realize that they have brought you to a different place.
There are two that come instantly to mind. And one, the first, if we could call it an antagonist, was when I was working for a consulting company and realized I didn't fit inside that company. Their model of how to be a consultant and what kinds of clients to work with and so on just absolutely didn't fit. And I got very clear very fast I needed to get out of there. The side effect of that was I went out trying to figure out how to be what I'm really good at in the world. And that was the stage at which I was asked to come and be an internal consultant at one of the Disney companies. And I have plenty of stories around my adventures inside that company. But, you know, so there was this point of absolute feeling completely strangled and compressed being at that consulting company and really waking up every day hating my life and
right.
feeling the sense of despair of how do I get out of here and where do I go, and had the next stage of the journey was something completely unexpected, which was becoming an internal consultant at the Disney company, where I just soared. I got to use everything I know how to do for a huge range of people in the creative divisions and the architecture division, the engineering division, and the management side of that company and that business. And the next antagonist there was, again, discovering that when you're working in a really, really big corporation, people can take forever to make decisions about things that to me were completely obvious. They needed
right.
to be solved. They needed to be solved now. And people would say, in the next 6 months, we'll look at that. And that was when I decided I'd had it and left that corporate world altogether to go out and work specifically with entrepreneurs, business owners, people who cared in their own pocket, can this work better on Tuesday? And
yes.
And, you know, that was, in a sense, when I really felt like I'm coming home. I've now liberated myself from the strictures and constraints of being inside a corporation, and I'm, you know, yes, with all the risks it's going to be of going out solo, I could breathe again because I knew that I was going to be working with the right folks.
Yep. Great.
Then the third one that came along is that not too long after I started my own business, I had a devastating car accident, which put me completely out of commission for 5 months. And so the challenge there was learning to be able to sit again, walk again, stand again, and have my brain working again and be able to come out the other side and say, okay, can I in fact keep going, not have to go get a job, but be able to keep doing what I've figured out is what I need to be doing in the world. And I think I consider myself very blessed that within 6 months, again, I had enough momentum that, you know, the universe was saying, yes, keep going. So, you know, but truly to be in that state of no income, no money in the bank, can't move, can't even think because of the severity of the concussion and everything was, you know, it gave me a real picture into what it is to be old and frail and dependent on others helping, and made me enormously grateful when all of my physical abilities and my mental abilities, in fact, came back to me after all those months.
Sure. That's really good. So you're getting in touch with these various stories from your life that highlight your own journey in seeking self-expression and self-realization and the various obstacles that have come along. I was talking with Stephanie Frank recently, and she said that 72% of people are in the wrong jobs.
Yeah.
They're in jobs that don't suit their personality styles and the way that they like to be and whatever. And so for you to say how constricted and awful it was for you to dread going to work every day, boy, how much can anybody relate to that? And an entrepreneur has probably had a job and can totally relate to that. And even some entrepreneurs aren't real happy because they're not running their business in a way that lets them be themselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
One thing I want to point out for Linda and for all of our listeners as well is that you're actually going to have probably 4 or 5 different versions of your story. Not that the story changes. The quest, the test, and the yes are still exactly the same in all of the versions.
Mm-hmm.
What changes is both the length and the point that you're trying to make as a result of telling the story.
Right.
I have actually 4 separate written versions of my story. One is the 60 seconds to 2 minutes. One is the 5 to 10 minutes. One is a little bit longer than that still. And the last one is like actually enough for an entire book all by itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what changes is both the level of detail and how many of the characters that give you advice you bring into the story along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
how many of the challenges, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, there's an element in all of this that it's I don't know how to frame it. I'll just say it. You know, when I was working in businesses and when I started doing consulting and when I changed from consulting to large corporations and working mostly with entrepreneurial and multipreneurial businesses and so on, the common theme was people kept turning to me saying, there's got to be an easier way. And I kept finding that way of doing something, you know, growing the business further, doing it faster, doing it easier, not effortlessly, but a lot easier.
Right.
You know, there's this sentence somebody said, and it has stuck with me, which is, you can have effortless when you're dead. You know? So, you know, nothing is effortless. It's, can it be easier? And so, you know, that's sort of the theme that runs through everything I do, is having people turn to me and voice out loud, isn't there an easier way to do this? And as a matter of fact, there is. You know, I can identify a whole bunch of them. So spoken or unspoken, I keep creating breakthroughs for people from what has them stalled, what has them feeling constricted, what has them feeling like it's impossible to move. And I know that in part the whole point of crafting the hero's journey is to describe a story that makes it completely credible that, in fact, I am skilled at doing this.
And so what you want to do, yes, very true, with your hero's journey is that you're going to ultimately frame it in the way that, how does easy become the breakthrough? How does easier become the breakthrough? Because there's always ways to make things easier. You can tie a knot that's complicated, or you can tie a simple knot. The question is for you, because you're a breakthrough specialist, and to bring out for people is how easier becomes the breakthrough. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes tremendous sense. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
And so, and it's true. What you're going to have is you're going to have a couple of sentence version of the story of you, obviously truncated, that you can use in social media profiles and whatever, because people aren't going to read 10 or 20 pages or even one full page of documentation about you.
Mm-hmm.
But a social media thing will be short. Or when somebody wants, you're always going to need, I have discovered in needing of bios, whenever someone says they want a short bio, I always have to say, what does short mean?
Mm-hmm.
The last time I handed somebody a 75-word bio, which was very short, and they wanted 25. So,
yep.
So you're going to end up needing various lengths, or need to be able to adapt what you have. But there will be that social media short. There might be the 25 or 75 or 50-word bio that somebody might use for an article or whatever. There will be something where when you get onto a teleseminar or a webinar or whatever, that you can use the story of you that will be a little longer, but you can't spend half an hour on that when your whole thing is an hour long, right? So, you know, it'll be somewhat shorter, and then there could be the version that could be, obviously could be a book for you. I know you already have one, you know, but it could be the level of a book. There are a lot of great, I'm reading one by the person who founded Love's Brownies, and it's really fun because you're reading her personal story, but her success tips are woven into it.
Mm.
So there are all kinds of ways that you can do this. And so that's what you want to do, is once you get the structure.
I hate to interrupt, Rhonda. We only have about 90 seconds left.
I know, we're so fast, and my watch, I guess, is a little slow. But so that's what you'll do. And I'd like to lead people to a free gift to help you with your storytelling real quick.
That would be
which is
awesome.
profitablestorytelling.com/gift, and you'll get a 5-part storytelling course that will help you understand the hero's journey. And then there's also a storytelling DVD on Amazon that's called Story Power, which teaches storytelling techniques, and that is like a 90-minute workshop. And Gina, all your bachelor students, I gift that to anytime I see them. So that's a lot of fun. But anyone else can pick that up from Amazon.
Oh, thank you so much, Rhonda. Linda, any last questions for Rhonda or I?
No, I'm just delighted by what we've been able to cover here today, and it's given me – beautiful steps to take next to start crafting my story. So thank you both so much.
Well, and when you have that done, you're going to have it up on your About page on breakthroughbydesign.com. So for our listeners, if you want to see the outcome of today's show, go check out breakthroughbydesign.com and find Linda's About page, and you will see the story of you that she creates from this. Again,
yep.
profitablestorytelling.com/gift to get that great five-part storytelling training that will really help you tell both your story and all the stories you're going to use all over the place in your business. Thank you so much for being here and letting us do this with you today, Linda. Really appreciated it. And Rhonda, thank you for doing this. This was awesome.
This was fun. Thank you so much. And everybody, we will see you next week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.